Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I'm Christopher Hooton and welcome to Kernels, which is on the road this week as I taken a week and a half off to head to Japan for a little bit. Kind of ostensibly out here to start work on a new script, but the script writing to beers and ramen ratio is not quite as balanced as I'd hoped, but I'm having a nice time. I was in Tokyo to begin with, first time there. It was amazing, bonkers, surreal as expected. Few days, and then I head out to the countryside. And if you ever find yourself in a lovely little town called Takayama, there's a bar down there, down an alley called Desolation Row, run by an old man named Ken. And it's just a little living room filled to the brim with records, about 3,000 records he's collected over the years. And you'll sit down in there, and he's got a wide selection of whiskies, and Ken will look after you. It was a lovely place to be. I'm now in Kyoto. And I figured I didn't want to skip a week, so I'm recording this from a ryokan, a little Japanese inn. Literally sat here in a yukata and huori, the traditional dress, drinking a green tea, recording kernels. So I apologise for the lower audio quality than usual. I've tried to mitigate that as best I can by throwing a duvet over my head to minimise the echo, so I hope you can hear me all right. So shortly before I left, I spoke to Steven Soderbergh, who's a director I kind of envy, really, if you look at the careers of big directors and you think of ones that must be fun. Steven Soderbergh definitely seems like a fun job because he makes all these kind of big, fun, not overly cerebral movies. You know, you got the Oceans trilogy, Aaron Brockovich, Magic Mike. But then around that, just to keep himself entertained, he finds time to make complete oddities. Like in 2005, he made this film Bubble that has no traditional script and only uses non-professional actors that he recruited from West Virginia and Ohio, where the film was being shot. I think the lead actress was found working the drive-through window of a KFC. So he pays the bills with these big movies that are still great, and then still finds time around the edges to do something a little bit interesting and experimental. He's also an interesting man to talk to because he's such a huge consumer of content. You know, a lot of the directors I talk to don't really keep up with current movies. You know, they're focused on what they're doing, or they're kind of from a different kind of perhaps golden era, and they don't really watch everything new that's coming out. But Steven Soderbergh watches about as much as is possible for a human to. You should check out his blog, where he lists every year every single thing he's watched, be it film or TV, and everything he's read, be it a novel or a play. So it was kind of fun to have a conversation with him, a bit like you would have with a friend, just about what they've been watching and what they like, they've liked this year and what they haven't. So that was good fun. I pulled him up on his list a little bit, asked what he made of some of the stuff he'd been watching. And then we also spoke about Logan Lucky, his new film, which is super interesting because it's, you know, a lot of heist movies, there's a heist within a heist. But this film is essentially a heist within a heist within a heist. The outermost exoskeletal heist being the film itself. Because he's kind of pulled the rug out from under the studios, really. He's decided, I'm going to make a studio-style movie, but I'm not going to do it with studios. I'm going to go about funding it myself. And he even has this kind of disdain for, he just sees studios as wasteful. So for all the money they spend on marketing and everything, and focus testing and big fancy premieres, he's like, no, we don't need to do that. We just need to make people aware that the film's happening, make sure they can see the trailer, and that's all we need. So he's kind of trimmed the fat around the edges and just kind of come up with this very new, lean plan, and everyone's watching to see whether it works. So we obviously speak a little bit about that. And one other thing to brief you on is we mentioned pseudonyms, because Stephen, he's often worked under pseudonyms, interestingly. And there's been a, I don't know how closely you follow, you know, the trade press, but there's been some talk about Logan Lucky's writer, Rebecca Blunt, who doesn't seem to have much history. She's got the credited as the sole screenwriter, and yet doesn't seem to have made a film before. I didn't want to ask him directly about it because I didn't want it to become, you know, like a piece of like gotcha journalism, me like trying to find out this identity of this person who may or may not exist for whatever reason, but we talk about it in a kind of slightly oblique way. So I hope you enjoy our chat, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks for next episode when I'm back in the country. All right, enjoy.
How you doing? All right?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I was up till 5 a.m. last night covering Game of Thrones, which is now the fate of every British entertainment journalist. Yeah. Have you been sucked into that universe?
Or? No, but my wife has.
Yeah.
She got hooked on it when I was on location a couple years ago. She'd never seen any of them. And then I was gone and she watched like the first four seasons in a row. And now she's hooked.
Nice. So. Yeah, and congratulations on Logan Lucky. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy like a, I feel like I hadn't watched a straight up and down heist film in a while, and it was refreshing. I like it when you have a film and you're just like from like 4 minutes in, you know where this is going and you're kind of like hooked.
Well, that's how I felt when I read it. And for me, obviously, it was enough of a variation on an Ocean's movie to make it fun and to make it feel like, oh, I'm not doing exactly what I've done before. This is kind of a 180 on that kind of movie. So that's why when I was tasked initially with trying to find a director for the script, that after a couple of weeks I said, I think actually I should do this.
Yeah, and it's always going to be remembered now as Steven Soderbergh's coming out of retirement movie is the way it's in the headlines.
I don't think, you know, I don't think the audience cares about that. I think they care about...
Do you think that whole thing was it a case of it was like an offhand comment that you made that then was overstated through reportage and beginning?
No, or not did at you... all. No, I made a very clear point, which I think is obvious in the speech I gave at the San Francisco Film Festival 4 years ago, how frustrated I was with the studio version of the movie business. Like, I was absolutely, at that point, feeling like, I don't know if I'm going to make another movie. I mean, if it involves working the way the system is working currently, then no, I'm not. I'm going to go work somewhere else, which is what I ended up doing. I just ended up having an opportunity to sort of build a model that was different, that allowed me to have creative control and have a better sort of economic structure. And that was a result, I think, of a lot of planets aligning at the same time. And it's going to be an ongoing thing to see if this is a new way of working. But at the end of the day, I think, again, for the audiences, this is all very kind of what we'd describe in the States as inside baseball. Like, it's not for them, for an audience, it's irrelevant. They just want to see a good movie.
Yeah.
And while that was the thing I had to keep in mind while we were sort of building this new approach, and there was a lot of administrative work to be done putting it together, I had to constantly remind myself, dude, you better make sure you make a good movie or this is all irrelevant.
Yeah. Obviously, I get the fact that you felt it, like, exhausted with the studio system stuff. But there was an element as well of just being on set. I think I read you said something like about you were sick of being in vans scouting locations and you can do it. I wondered if there must have been kind of some parallels with Daniel Craig, actually. I don't know if you guys ever spoke about it, because he seemed to have this similar moment with the Bond franchise where he was like, no, I can't do any more. But you both just ultimately needed some time away to realize that you love making movies. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. It can be, you have to find a way to sort of keep connected to it. And it's no different than, you know, being in a relationship with somebody for a long time. Mm-hmm. You need to keep finding ways to remember and reconnect with that person and remember what it was about them that compelled you, you know. And so I think you do if you've been working a lot or you've been working very hard, it's easy to sort of fall into a sense of familiarity that doesn't feel good. Now, that being said, I'm never, ever going to like driving around in a van scouting locations. Like, there's just no version of that that I'm ever going to be happy about. I know you have to do it, and I do it, but I'm never going to like it. Like, it's just, I just find it really frustrating. It's just, it's not, that's the one part of the job. Well, no, there are two parts of the job that are hard for me. I'm not a morning person, so getting up early is not pleasant.
I'm not either, but we did it today.
Yeah, we had to. Driving around in the van, just I'm never going to enjoy that. I try to keep that to myself. It's not like I'm a dark presence in the van. There's something inefficient about it. You know what I mean? It's just like, it takes a long time to.
Yeah. I mean, that is something you could delegate, right? But you don't want to.
You really can't. I mean, every time I've, on the couple of occasions where I've tried to, it's really backfired. You know what I mean? Where I've tried to pick a location based on like photographs, you know, and then I get there and something, it's just different. Like, you realize, oh, it doesn't, that's not exactly what I thought. So, and that was back, that was an experiment I did back before I'd really gotten that frustrated with the van. So it's part of the thing.
And do you think what brought you back to movies, was it Logan Lucky, or was it excitement about this idea you had for the strategy, or like a marriage of the two?
I don't think it was both. I mean, I think Logan, I don't know that, listen, you know, Logan felt to me like the perfect test case for this, because it was a broad appeal film that you could cast movie stars in and would look to an audience like a regular Hollywood movie. I felt like it needed that. It needed to be that. So it seemed like some things were kind of lining up that needed to line up. So I sort of started running toward it. And the good news for me, because I value the experience of making the film a lot, was that this was from beginning to end, although it's not quite over yet, like really, really fun. And it went the way I hoped. I had the creative experience that I hoped I would have, and I've had the sort of practical, professional experience that I hoped that I would have. So for me, it's been a big, it was exciting, and I'm excited still about trying to put other projects through this system.
Yeah, I think it's a very savvy choice. I think it's a film that's very hard to dislike. I think people are going to enjoy it.
It seems like we've gotten, I have to say, a better critical response in the States than I thought we would. It's not a movie that I went in thinking, oh, we're going to get really good reviews. So that was a sort of nice surprise. But yeah, I mean, look, it's possible that, I mean, it happened. To me, I look at the movie and I go, wow, you've just got to be in a really weird place to literally not be able to pull any pleasure out of this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say to that, you know, that I'm really sorry you're in that spot where you just look at this and you're angry. I don't know what to say to that, because it seems, although not craven in its desire to please you, it's certainly, a tough movie to hate.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been a lot of fun to shoot such a talented cast. I was just talking to Adam Driver, who I love. Like, he's just so much fun to watch on the screen.
Yeah.
I was saying how my favorite line of his in the whole movie was just, yep. Yeah. Don't know if you're the one I mean, where he's like, yep.
Yeah, in the prison. Yeah, I know. I was so glad we got him. I've been sort of following him for a while and think he's really unique. And it was fun. I think for all of them, I could say this about Daniel too. it was fun to watch them be able to do something where they were having fun. You know, I think for Daniel, the ability to just cut loose and not have to, I told him, I don't care how you look. I don't like, there's nothing to protect here. This should be like scorched earth. You should like annihilate everything that came before this. Like just go.
Yeah.
And he really took that to heart.
Yeah. I was thinking about the pseudonyms throughout your career. Are they less or more fun now the internet is able to analyze everything surgically?
Oh, I think, you know, maybe more fun. Maybe it's more fun because now there's the...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The theories are get crazier and crazier and go deeper and deeper. But there's a real, I think there's a, I'm really into the idea of pseudonyms and sort of alternate identities because there's a real, it can free you up in a way. And I think particularly for writers, it can be a valuable tool to kind of step outside yourself, you know. And again, this issue of like protecting some idea that people may have of what somebody with that name does and is capable of.
Yeah.
And to be able to kind of step out, you know, from that and look at it from the outside, and I think is a really valuable thing. It was fascinating to me the controversy that sort of sprung up around the Alina Ferrante novels, and when she got outed, and
yeah.
this guy did all these like crazy forensics on like real estate and figured it out, and and I had a very mixed feeling about that because I loved those books, and I guess I felt I certainly was not a person that felt like I have a right to know this.
Yeah,
you know, I really didn't care. All I cared about was the books, and so while I would never say that, you know. That journalist isn't allowed to go and try and explore that and excavate the mystery. I can't say that I felt it was necessary or that I'm not sure what was served.
Yeah.
By that, like, do we all feel better?
Yeah, there's the most like egregious example of that over here actually with the musician Burial. I don't know if you know him.
No.
He was like amazing, like and just never ever, which wanted to remain anonymous, and like a tabloid journalist like hounded and found it, and all they'd found was like, oh yeah, it's this guy who lives here, and I was like, well, that doesn't really help or serve.
Yeah, I mean, does it? Like, I don't care who Banksy is.
Yeah.
All I care about is the art, you know, and it really doesn't. I would have no interest in like finding out, and especially as time goes on, I really don't, because I feel like, well, I don't, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't, I don't see the need to know, but I'm sure at some point we're going to find out who it is. And then there'll be a whole thing about that. But I think, look, there's a dark version of what I'm talking about where people use another identity to
misdirect or something.
Yeah, to misdirect or create something negative, you know, to stir up something negative or to be destructive or to be cruel. You know, there's no one version of any idea. Like, if human beings through history have taught us anything, it's that if there's a bad version of something to be done, like, human beings will find out how to do it and do it.
Yeah,
you know, like, we're our capacity to find the bottom is pretty incredible. So, but in this context, in a sort of creative, purely creative space, I think the idea of multiple identities, shifting identities, is really interesting and really potentially valuable.
Yeah. Going back to Logan Lucky, it made me laugh, Seth MacFarlane's character, because it's sort of, the costume is so ridiculous. It reminded me a bit of like Rob Lowe's character in Behind the Candelabra.
Right.
That it almost makes you jump out of the narrative. It's so ridiculous. But.
Yeah. There was Studio Canal was very concerned about this when they saw the film. And I said, so what are you saying? Like, the entire country just has no sense of humor. Like, let's be clear. And he's described in the script as the kind of British person that British people would take an exception to.
Yeah.
I said, but the point of it, and I said this to Seth, who was the one who came up with that approach. It wasn't written for a British person.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't care what you do with this. Just know that he has to create instantaneous hatred by the view, by anybody who sees him. Like, it has to be physical, like how much you can't stand this guy.
Yeah.
And so a couple weeks later, he called me and said, I've been in the studio, like, messing around with some stuff, and I think I've got something. And he said, do you mind if he's British? And I said, no, not at all. And then I didn't see him until he showed up on set, like, with the whole get up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty extreme.
I think it needs
that color. Like, it needs, the movie needs that kind of note, you know, to play with all the other notes. When I think now, I guess the way to judge it for me now is, well, what if he didn't do it like that?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to imagine, like, well, what else would you do? Like, it kind of needs to be that.
I think we Brits are, like, some of the best at, like, taking the piss out of ourselves anyway. Like,
that was my impression, but no, they were nervous. They were very nervous about it. And I felt like, I think people are going to get, it's a comedy.
Yeah. Going back to Behind the Candelabra, which I love, that my kind of like my yep moment in that is Rob Lowe's slow glass of, and then
little like can't, it's not a smile, but yeah. Like fluid leaking out of his mouth. He was hilarious.
I can imagine.
That was a fun movie to make too, I have to say. And creatively, I mean, HBO left us, you know, completely alone. And I mean, it was a really good script.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot to sort of monkey with. But that was, you know, for a time, it looked like that was going to be the last thing I was going to do. And we had like a, when we had the wrap party, you know, I assumed like, it's going to be a while before I come back to this. And I felt really good about that. Like, I really was happy with that film. And I felt like, yeah, if that was the last thing I did, I'd be really happy with that.
Yeah, it had like an emotional resonance that I didn't expect that came at the end. And I was like, wow. Yeah, that's cool. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, for listeners who don't know, you keep a list of your consumption every year, whether it's TV, film, plays, which I think is like really, really fascinating. I don't know necessarily your motive for doing it, but as a reader, just to see where your head's at, where your interest is taking you, what you're keeping tabs on in the industry and what you're going back to like learn about. I was looking over your one for 2016 and I wanted to ask you about a few of them.
Sure.
So the Patrick Marber plays. I really love Closer, and I didn't get a chance to see those plays. I wondered if you liked them.
Yeah, I know Patrick a little.
He's like brutally honest. Like, first time I watched Closer, I was like, no one has gone this honest with relationships. Like,
no, Patrick's a great writer, and I met him or got to know him through Mike Nichols when Mike did Closer. And so he and I sort of, when I come to town, I don't think I'm going to see him this time because I'm busy talking about myself, But usually when we come into town, my wife and I come into town, we like try to track him down and go have a meal, because he's actually really fun to hang out and talk to. Like, he's very smart and he's very funny. And as it happened, I took advantage of seeing him last time to pick up copies of some of his plays that I wasn't familiar with, and really liked them a lot. I have some ideas that I've pitched him that I'm trying to convince him to work on. So every time I see him, I kind of bring that up.
Oh, I'd love to see you two collaborate. Please
like
make that happen.
I would like to do something, I know. And I haven't gotten him to commit, but I'm going to keep trying. I'd love to do something with him.
Yeah. I heard you paint houses. Presumably you were just interested to see where Scorsese's working with that.
No, that was a book I read because I was developing a project. I was actually, it's going to take me forever. I'm adapting a book that was written by a friend of mine, David Levine, who's part of the duo of Brian Koppelman and David Levine, who wrote Ocean's 13 for me,
right,
and The Girlfriend Experience and created Billions. David wrote a novel, a crime novel called City of the Sun, that I've been slowly adapting over the years. And when I was talking early on to I wanted to adapt it and produce it, but not direct it. And I was talking to a director about it. And he read the book and said, oh, you need to read, this reminds me of this other book about a true crime, you know, but tonally, he said, it's very similar. So no, it wasn't until months later that it was announced that Scorsese was going to actually adapt that book. It's a really, really interesting book.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm surprised you didn't call it I Heard You Paint Houses. That seems like the best name for a film to me.
Irishman. I guess maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they felt it was a little too kind of complex
in
what it sort of, you know, conjures.
Yeah.
You know, and The Irishman just seems simpler.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to get the soon, so I'm going to ask you to whistle through these more quickly. Better Call Saul, which I wasn't... Everett got so much acclaim and I thought was... I don't know. I wasn't sure
which
about
one?
It. A Better Call Saul.
Oh, I love it. You don't like it?
I don't know. I like it. I don't love it, I guess.
I love it. I really love it.
The Olympics. Were you glad to have your life back from that after that ended? I was like, why am I spending all of my hours watching this? It's not doing anything useful for me.
I love the Olympics. I love, as you can see, like, I love the Olympics. I can't wait until the Winter Olympics. I just, it's, well, what's weird now is, I don't know if you've seen this new documentary that just came out called Icarus.
No, my friend was telling me about this yesterday.
God.
Yeah,
you got to see this thing. Yeah. It's incredible. And now that's like colored my whole Olympics thing. Because I'm like, oh no, really? Is it all like, is everything just corrupted? And because in general, what I love about the Olympics is it seems to be so clear. You know, it's just one of the few things in this world that you can watch and it seems so exactly what it is. I mean, I think that's why people love sports, and it is why they get upset when they hear about doping or, you know, games that are fixed or anything like that. Like, it really, it hits you in a really primal way because you think like, oh no, ruin that. But God, it was while we were actually...
It's while you're shooting, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it was, I wasn't getting a lot of sleep.
A Bigger Splash, I think, is one of the most underrated films. I love that.
It's pretty fun.
Ralph Fiennes' performance in that.
Yeah. Outrageous.
Out of this world.
No,
yeah.
Really, really interesting movie.
Westworld.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where they're going to take this.
Yeah. I thought it set up all these really philosophical questions that are really interesting, then maybe didn't meet them for me so far. But
yeah, I'm curious to see where they're going to go.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of places they can go. I'm curious to see like what tributaries they decide to expand.
Yeah, and just finally, which kind of brings us full circle, actually, Horace and Pete, another experimental.
Yeah, I really appreciate that he's trying to push himself out of this, like, I'm a guy who stands up and tells jokes. You know what I mean? And I thought
It's a really cool idea.
I really thought some of the writing in that show was amazing. And just the accomplishment, the scale of it, you know, for him to have done that on his own, I thought was really impressive. But I just like that he's not content to just be one thing.
Yeah.
And that he's trying to sort of go deeper and further with his work. And believe me, you know, this is an industry that only encourages you to do the thing you've done before that people liked. Like, nobody's saying, like, hey, why don't you...
Yeah, it's like stay in your lane kind of thing, yeah.
Why don't you completely, you know, throw everything up in the air and experiment? Like, nobody's ever said that, ever.
Yeah.
And so whenever I see somebody who I feel a kinship with because I can sense their sort of restlessness... You know, I always try to support that.
Yeah.
You know, and he's pushing it.
All right. Well, best of luck with this experiment. I really hope it works for you. And
I mean, it kind of already has. We got to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna keep doing it. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm happy.
Maybe you'll change Hollywood and you'll become the household name you never wanted to become.
I don't think that's gonna happen. My name's too hard to pronounce.
All right, Stephen, thanks so much.
Thanks, great to meet you.
Yeah, take care. Enjoy your day.
You too.
So that was Steven Soderbergh. I hope you enjoyed our chat. Could have definitely talked to that man all day long. I hadn't even scratched the surface, really, of things that I had to ask him about. Hopefully we'll have him back on the podcast at some point. So yeah, thanks for listening, and hit us up on Twitter if you haven't already. Love to get some feedback. Always good to hear from you guys, and any questions or suggestions you may have, very welcome. All right, I'll catch you soon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.